Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we enter a new year. 2022 is in the past. At midnight, not quite half a day ago, 2023 arrived, whether we were up to celebrate it or not. But what has changed really? Well, one has to remember when you're writing the date, like on a check or something, that you have to write 2023. Or, for those of us who have health insurance deductibles, it's the accumulation for our premium maximum donation is, or premium, is reset to zero. But we probably also have the same address, worshiping in the same church building that we did last year. Probably still have the same job, unless you're retired. Congratulations on that. You'll still probably go to your favorite restaurants and so forth. So what has changed? True, a lot of life still seems the same as it was last night, which also includes our spiritual battles against the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh. The devil is still trying just as hard as ever to bring misery and sin into our lives as he can. He never takes a break. He is like that roaring lion prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't let up just because a calendar page has changed. The fallen world still attacks our faith. It seems as though it continues to get worse with each passing year. Christians are ridiculed many times for putting their trust in God. People scoff at the belief that the Bible is true and reliable. Even our Christian morality seems to be twisted by others so that it is considered evil and unloving in today's world. The world constantly is calling upon us to give up faith in Jesus and to find pleasure in other things so much more readily available. The world mocks the Ten Commandments and says that they are really more like 10 suggestions. And perhaps worst of all, still attacking us is our own sinful nature. There are temptations which are peculiar to each of us, with which each of us struggles. Those temptations just don't go away merely because the calendar has changed. Even we may be tempted to think that our weaknesses aren't so bad compared with temptations that other people seem to have to endure. We might be tempted to be proud and focused on ourselves instead of turning outward and loving our neighbors. We might be tempted to bear grudges against others rather than to forgive one another as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. We still probably have the same fears and the same problems and the same temptations that we had in 2022. The only difference is that we can expect even more new ones to be added in 2023. But there is a change for which Jesus accomplished for us. Now, the story of Jesus' circumcision and naming seems so unimportant to us in the world nowadays. Indeed, it is mentioned almost as a footnote, one of the shortest remarks in the Bible. In fact, our gospel reading today was only one verse in length. So it seems perhaps to be nothing really significant at all. I mean, just like millions of Jewish babies and thousands of Jewish babies before and after Jesus, Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day in accordance with the covenant promise made to Abraham and his physical descendants through the ages. Now, what is that covenantal promise? Genesis chapter 17 explains it this way. at verse 9, God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." Unlike the sign of the covenant which God made with Noah, the rainbow, which can be seen by many people outwardly from a distance, the sign of the Abrahamic covenant, circumcision, is extremely up close and personal. The command to be circumcised was so important, in fact, that even on the Sabbath, a day of rest, otherwise, one was not to delay in circumcising one's son. If the 8th day of a boy's birth fell on a Sabbath, circumcision would take precedence. It would occur. Being marked as one of God's people had higher priority than the Sabbath. Along with being circumcised for boys, receiving one's name was inseparably connected with the circumcising of a son. And this likewise probably is based on Genesis chapter 17, where God changed Abram's name, Abram meaning exalted father, to Abraham, father of multitudes. And this is in the beginning of chapter 17 at verse 1. "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly.' And then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, 'Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you.'" And then verse 10, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you, every male among you shall be circumcised." As we look to, I mentioned that the circumcision and naming were intimately connected. And as we look at Luke's gospel, we see that the child born to Mary is not even called Jesus until he is 8 days old, where that name is given immediately following the circumcision ritual. Prior to that, when you look at Luke's gospel, he is called a son, son of the Most High, the child to be born, son of God, was a child again, her firstborn son, Savior, Christ the Lord, find a baby, and they found a baby concerning this child. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Historically, some of our baptism rites have also been called christening, for that is when one received the name given as one is connected and born again into the family of God through holy baptism. So after Jesus was circumcised in Bethlehem on the eighth day of his life, he was presented in the temple on his 40th day, and then carried down to Egypt for protection from Herod, who was trying to kill anyone who would possibly take over his throne. And Jesus, Mary, and Joseph eventually were taken to Nazareth, the hometown of Joseph and Mary, and otherwise it had no significance. We would probably say it's out in the boondocks or maybe in the middle of nowhere, out in the sticks, because outside of the scriptural recording of the town named Nazareth, it isn't even mentioned in any other ancient literature until several hundred years after the time of Christ Jesus. This was Joseph and Mary's hometown, where they were from and where they settled again. Now, Joseph was a craftsman, a common laborer, perhaps even a handyman, in addition to what a carpenter would be in our thinking. Mary and Joseph had other children, it appears. The scriptures name the brothers of Jesus as James, Joseph, which is a form of Joseph, Simon, and Jude. And the Gospels of Matthew and Mark name unnamed sisters of Jesus, referenced in those Gospels. Now, one of the most popular names at the time was Jesus, Yeshua, which means God saves, or God is salvation. In fact, so far, 71 gravestones have been found in Jerusalem from the time of Christ, all having the name Jesus inscribed on them. So popular was that name. But the birth, circumcision, and naming of Jesus born of Mary was a much bigger event than anyone anticipated, because this Jesus was God's Son who took on our flesh and continued to live as a human being only perfectly. The Bible calls him the second Adam, because the first Adam was made perfect and Adam and Eve fell into sin, and we are all the descendants of that. But Christ Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and he continued to live his life as a human on earth perfectly, true God and true man. Jesus was born under the law, submitted to all the Hebrew laws, beginning with circumcision on the eighth day. He would fulfill all of God's laws perfectly on our behalf. He never sinned once, even though he was tempted in every way that we are. The writer to the book of Hebrews says he did not sin. He was perfect and is rightly called the Lamb of God, which, as you remember, had to be without spot or without blemish or without any defect. Christ Jesus was perfect and is rightly called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. At his circumcision, blood would flow from his body for the first time. This happened during each of a boy's circumcision, but there was special significance to Jesus's. As the perfect Son of God, he didn't need circumcision to become part of the people of God. And yet, he suffered in every way that we do as human beings. In this particular ritual with all the other little infant boys, and he would suffer greatly for all of us. For this shedding of his eight-day-old innocent blood would be prophetic for other innocent bleeding Jesus did for us while he wore that crown of thorns pressed down upon his head and blood flowed. When he was scourged, whipped, and beaten, and blood flowed. When he was nailed to the cross, where he paid for all of our sins, and blood flowed. When his side was pierced, to make sure that he was dead, blood and water separated, flowed. Looked that up from a medical doctor, a thoracic surgeon, who explained that Jesus had already been dead for a while, like it says in John 19. When the soldiers came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, They did not break his legs, but one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. So the combination, or all the ingredients of blood, which are working right now in all of us at the moment of death, began to separate where the red blood cells are heavier and go down. And the whitish plasma watery liquid rises to the top, so that when one is pierced, in this case Jesus, blood comes out first, the red stuff, followed by the white-looking liquid. You maybe all pretty much knew that, but I decided to look it up just again to make sure. So these wounds in Christ's hands and his feet and his side were still visible for all to see, even after he rose from the dead. They are his resurrection from the dead, and these wounds are proof that he has redeemed us from sin and from death and from the power of the devil. And so his name has special meaning. As we've said before, the name Jesus means God saves. At this Jesus, born of Mary, would live up to the meaning of his biblical name, because he would save his people from their sins, as is declared in the scriptures. He is the Savior who was born for all of us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it is Jesus who brings change to all of our lives. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, we read of one evening where Jesus had a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. Jesus said all kinds of things that Nicodemus immediately did not understand, such as that to enter the kingdom of heaven, one must be born again, born of water and the Spirit. What Jesus was speaking of was baptism, being born into the family of God, receiving the forgiveness of sins, and granting us a change of heart through faith in him. We are baptized into Christ Jesus in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus commanded in the last chapter of Matthew. And we receive, as was indicated in our epistle reading today, we receive not the mark of circumcision, but this. Receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ crucified. In baptism, Romans 6 tells us we die to sin and are raised to new life in Christ Jesus. Our sins are washed away, and God makes us into his beloved children, born again of water and the Word. What a change! It may not seem like much at all, but that simple water joined with the Word of God, giving it its power, the Word of God, it's a washing of rebirth and renewal in the Spirit. As Paul's letter to Titus shows, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life, something we inherit because we are in the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Through faith in Christ, our whole lives are changed. It is he who brings change into our lives, obviously not the calendar. We are completely forgiven of our sins. It no longer matters what the devil and the world may throw against us. We know that God is with us, Emmanuel, and will deliver us from every evil. We can have hope and peace in every situation. In our battle with temptation, we know that when we fall, God doesn't abandon us, lo, he is with us always, even to the close of this age. He calls us to confess our sins, as we do in the beginning of our church services here, and God is faithful and just and forgives all of our sins in Christ and through Christ. Even when this life brings grief, lots of grief, and perhaps a fear of our last hour, Christ brings hope to you and in the gift to you of everlasting life through him. All of life changes when we believe in the name of Jesus, our Savior. So customarily today, a lot of people make a New Year's resolutions, but we know that not much will change. Within a week or two, those resolutions stand a good chance of being forgotten. And for the most part, this morning is a little different than last evening. The real big change in all of us has already come into our lives when the Holy Spirit opened our eyes for us to see and to know and to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. God saves. He's washed away our sins, made us into God's beloved children, and given us that gift of eternal life in heaven, beginning already now, knowing about Jesus and believing in him. And may the Lord always give us joy from the changes that Christ has brought into our lives. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus till life everlasting. Amen.